you can see tonight. Glad that you're able to be here. We have finally getting to present some material intended to present last week, but due to the weather, it seems like we're in a cycle of Sunday troubles when it comes to weather. We'll see how long that lasts. Nevertheless, we want to. I'd like to spend some time tonight with you, not wanting to in any way belabor the work in India, but to kind of bring you up to speed, up to date, so that you know some of the things that are occurring and some of the particular challenges concerning it for our brethren there. Brother Dan gave a good report a couple of weeks ago about India, its culture, and a report on the trip, and appreciate that very much. The lesson tonight is a lesson that I presented in Kurnool, the second week of the classes. In fact, it was the last day of those classes, and Dan had to leave early. His schedule then prevented him from being there, so it's new to him too, so he hadn't heard this. It's posted on the website, and this information is there. If you followed some of the events that we were posting daily, you know about this, but hopefully it will also reinforce our convictions, our understanding. As brethren in India are facing quite a bit of challenges and opposition from those of a liberal mindset and liberal practices among churches of Christ. On October the 24th, which was when we were in the air traveling over to India, an open letter was sent out by a preacher in Bangalore, India, his name is Jacob Chuka. And there's been several years of contact with this man, and last year really was all of it came to the surface that he was not what he purported to be and had not turned away from liberalism like he had said that he had. And he wrote an open letter, and we're going to read that very quickly and then discuss it. It's an open letter in which he charges myself, Bobby Holmes, Dan Torres, anyone else with us, and the brethren associated with us of dividing churches in India, of being evil people, of taking and through money urging people to join us. These were some of the charges that he made. And so the last week of the classes, we were able to get a response put together, and which, of course, we've sent to him and others throughout India, and brethren have in turn distributed even more. Since then, he's threatened to go to the government of India and tell them all about us and the brethren over there to try to prevent us from going to India or prevent the brethren who are in India from continuing their work. And such is just the nature of error. When he doesn't have a Bible to support him, he'll turn to those sorts of things. But that's really not a new thing. We see that in the Bible as well. But we offered an open response to the open letter. And here's the letter that he sent out. It was sent to Brother Joshua Mahindranath, who lives in Bangalore, and the team from America, Bobby Holmes, and those with him. He says, "American team is bringing divisions and well-established churches in India. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are working in India for the past 32 years, he says, to plant the Lord's churches in many corners of our country with the help of supportive ministers sponsored from Churches of Christ at USA. Some of the congregations in India are self-supported. In the recent past years, your team, that is Bobby Holmes and Associates, have come to India and took shelter under us to proclaim the gospel with the good spirit and in the interest of the Lord's work. We have introduced and allowed the pulpit in the congregations. But later we came to know that they are preaching that the place set apart for worship is holy, and hence the place should not be used for any other purpose other than worship. Bible schools are against the New Testament, but they grabbed the preachers who trained in the Bible schools and honored their certificates. Ladies' meetings are against the New Testament. Orphanages, widows, and old folks' homes are against the New Testament. Youth meeting is against the New Testament. Fellowship, get-together, is against the New Testament.
There should not be leadership, he charges, that we teach. But in their own team, they have team leaders to cover the areas. This is nothing but opposing leadership and bossism openly and encouraging and practicing it indirectly. Where is the New Testament authority, he asks. So, we have disassociated and discouraged your team. Taking advantage of our introduction and hospitality with the congregation, they have taken liberty and attracted some preachers with more money than what they are getting. In some other congregations, where there is no support to the preachers, they attracted with support. They not only named us as liberals, but also showed us as notorious wherever they went to gain people's sympathy, kindness, and moral support, and corrupted the clean hearts. With this motive, they grabbed not only preachers whom we had trained, but also converts, church buildings, and properties. If once they have attracted the preachers, they never visit those congregations again, but invite the preachers to submit the reports of the meetings which they conducted in hotels. In the absence of your team in India, these preachers would sit before the computers and send false and fabricated reports to their sponsors, as if the conservative Christian teachings are effective and developing in the congregations. But it is true that the congregations who fell prey to your team still preaching and teaching and practicing what was taught earlier. Some preachers who are taking support from your team and still continue taking support from those who were supporting earlier. In this way, the team is making the preachers to misappropriate the Lord's money and promote committing sin. If you visit these congregations without intimation, you will see the true colors. The preachers whom you're supporting are the people of our converts, trained by us. And now they're posing and boasting that it is their labor. Please refer to the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:12-18. It is our challenge that if half of the amount of your support is curtailed, half of the preachers whom you are supporting will disappear from you. If the full support is stopped, none of them will stay with your team. It's our sincere advice to the team, that is Bobby Holmes, Joe Price, Dan Torres, Ed Al, go to the perishing souls in India, not to the congregations that are already established to bring division and confusion among the churches. Let your supporting so-called preachers start new congregations and prove their capacity that they are knowledgeable preachers. Showing and entering our labor to you and boasting and posing is nothing but unscriptural. You are encouraging such kind of cults and partaking of their sin. When you are calling us liberals, why do you need our converts and our property? Are you not ashamed of this? Let your supportive preachers get out from our labor and our property. This is nothing but stealing and robbing and grabbing. Two congregations understood the colors and drove their preachers out. You are buying so-called preachers with American dollars. Beloved team, this is not mine or your money, but the Lord's money, which is being misused by you to the notorious liars and cheaters. These notorious liars and cheaters are not only cheating us, they're also cheating you and American brethren in God. One day we are all accountable to the Lord at His judgment seat, 2 Corinthians 5:10. We are praying for your repentance. With love, Jacob Chuka, Bangalore. Well, needless to say, that kind of a letter gets your attention and others' attention. And so we're compelled to respond. You know, the Bible has two bits of wisdom. And at one hand, it says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest he turn and lest you become like him. But another says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he seem right in his own eyes. And so it's important that we answer these charges of sin, charges of bringing division, charges of hypocrisy, charges of offering money to follow what we teach, to answer these charges from the Bible. And so we did that in our class setting to help the brethren. Because you see, these charges are not just against Bobby Holmes or Joe Price or Dan Torres or others that are coming from America. There are charges against our brethren in India who have rejected liberalism for the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And they need the encouragement. They need your prayers. They need our consideration and our help to respond to these things in a Bible way. And it's good to note and to report that since we've returned from the trip, a number of gospel preachers have written Mr. Chico directly, because he has in other correspondence named some men directly as being those that he referred to, and they have responded to him and his lies about them, their motivations and their conduct. And all that is doing is strengthening the cause of truth and exposing the lies and the errors, not only of this man, but those who would have fellowship with him in error. And the Bible is engaged. And let's just discuss, and this is really what we presented the other day, a few weeks back in Cronulla. We said we brought division to India, but what we've brought is the pattern of sound words, something that has not been preached in India in many, many places. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13 says that we are to hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from us in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. You see, liberalism was imported or exported from America to India. Mr. Chuka studied at the Sunset School of Preaching in Lubbock, Texas. And did you know that at least a few years ago, the Portal Way Church of Christ in Ferndale, Washington, was offering classes from the Sunset School of Preaching? Pay a fee, get the books, take the course. And they were offering those classes for the church in Lubbock, through the church here, for a price. Now, that's how close to home it is. There's liberalism at our back door. This is what we have engaged with the Word of God in India as well as here, and they don't like it. And the response is being set out and sent out. Truth divides. It shows who is approved by God and who is not. Jesus said, "Don't think I came to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword." Truth is going to divide those truth lovers and truth seekers and truth followers from those who profess that they know God by their works deny Him. Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and disqualified for every good work. Their brethren in churches of Christ, will say more about it in a little while, they're disobedient. They need to hear the truth. We've taken that truth, and there are people who don't like to hear the truth. There are others who love the truth, who are responding and obeying the truth, and separating themselves from error. And those who don't like that are charging them with dividing, with grabbing, with impure motives, and all sorts of sin. The Bible revealed the true troubler of Israel won't. King Ahab told Elijah, "Oh, it's you, troubler of Israel." And Elijah said, "I am not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have rejected the word of the Lord. You have not obeyed the commandments of God and have turned to the Baal, turned to the idols." So when we come preaching the whole counsel of God, it exposes the error in India or here or anywhere else. Brethren, when we teach the whole counsel of God, it will delineate and define and show those who are following after God and those who will not. Mr. Chuka says, "We've been working in India 32 years and planted the Lord's church in many corners of the country." Well, now, so immediately he begins to speak on behalf of all the brethren in India, I suppose. And I want you to see that throughout. He takes a great liberty to speak on behalf of brethren all over the place in India, in South India particularly. And he says, "We've planted churches all over the country." Now, you know, it should be pointed out that we don't plant churches, brethren. We plant the seed, which is the Word of God. Do we understand that? You see, the Bible doesn't talk anything about planting churches. The sower went out to sow a seed. The Bible says, "Preach the gospel to the whole creation." Mark 16:15. Paul said, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome." By the way, to the church in Rome, who need to hear the truth of the gospel. First Peter 1, Peter said, seeing you've obeyed the gospel, you've been born again by the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, then he said you continue to be obedient to it. We preach the gospel, we plant the seed in the hearts of men and women so that they will believe it, obey it, and be saved. And the Lord adds them to His church. And those brethren gather together as a local congregation. We don't plant churches. That is fundamentally a denominational term. It's not speaking as the oracles of God, brethren. And though, when you hear that terminology, it ought to cause a red flag to go up. That's not Bible talk. That's the world, the religious world's talk. Planting churches. We don't plant churches. We plant the Word of God to try to save souls, planting in the hearts of men and women. But again, he talks about sponsoring churches in America, and really, there's more to this than just a matter of a congregation supporting a preacher in India, and that's documented. He is supported by the Saturn Road Church of Christ in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and through him, as a director of the funds that he receives, they support a K-12 school, they support a home for orphans, they support a preacher training school as well. So you see, sponsoring churches and that kind of arrangement is nowhere found in the Bible. You know this. We've studied all these. There's a Bible pattern of churches sending support directly to a preacher to preach. Not to a preacher to oversee an orphanage or to run a secular school or any other human organization. There's a Bible pattern. These are the things that we taught in our renewal classes last year and this year and the previous years, and what we intend to, Lord willing, when we go again, is to set forth this Bible pattern of how brethren are to support preachers in doing their work, to crack this and break this hold that the liberalism has among brethren in churches of Christ in that country. That through sponsoring churches in America, men are being supported who in turn then distribute that support in a variety of ways, and more on that in just a minute as well. So you see his allegation and past and present support belies the unscriptural nature of what he's actually involved in and others with him. Now we're going to contend for the faith about those things. Now Jude 3 means something. Contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered. There, the faith is being abused. It's being fought against, taught against, misapplied. People are losing their souls in churches of Christ here and there. We have an opportunity to contend for the truth, then we need to take advantage of it. And we have. And for that now, some say, well, you're just bringing division. Rest assured, brethren, they'll say the same thing about you if they haven't already when you've taught the truth to a friend, to a neighbor, somebody at school, somebody you work with. You receive those same or similar descriptions and accusations. I want you to remember 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul was in Ephesus writing to the Corinthians, and he wants to go to Corinth, but he says there's a situation here in Ephesus that causes us to want to stay until Pentecost at least. He says, and here it is, he says, a great and effective door is open to me, and there are many adversaries. There's a lot of adversaries, and Paul says, I want to stay here a while, to contend for the faith, to teach the lost, to save some. This is the encouragement to our brethren in India, is to stand fast, contend for the faith, to try to save some. The adversity is going to come when you stand for the truth. And they are standing and they are receiving these sorts of objections and oppositions. Let's be praying for them. They need our prayers and our encouragements. And we need to do the same thing. We need to follow their example, to stand for the truth here as those occasions arise as well. Well, he says, in past years, your team came from America, and we showed you a good spirit. You proclaimed a good spirit, and we let you speak in our pulpits. Well, that's just part of that. That's just one side of that coin. He didn't tell the whole story here. Point of fact is, we've taken shelter, not taken shelter from Chucka or any other man, but when given an opportunity to preach, we have preached the whole counsel of God and preached about the errors of liberalism. Back in 2004, Brother Bobby Holmes and Brother Stan Cox were invited to speak where Mr. Chucka preaches, and they took that opportunity, and Bobby Holmes preached about liberalism, about the work of the church, about such things as preacher support and other things that liberalism is distorting and abusing. They canceled his meeting. And yet now the accusation is, well, they've taken shelter under us when we show them a good spirit. No, by their invitation, the gospel has been preached. Just like Paul and Barnabas did in Antioch of Pisidia, they went into a synagogue and sat down, and when given an invitation to speak, they preached what the audience needed to hear. That's what we're doing. That's what brethren there are doing. That's what has been done. That's what will continue to be done. And to charge that as causing division or in otherwise seeking a deceitful opportunity is simply a distortion of reality and a distortion of the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 describes how Paul came to Thessalonica. This is the pattern we all need to seek to follow and have tried to follow wherever we have gone. He says, you know how we came to you and how we spoke the gospel of God in much conflict. Our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanness, nor was it in deceit. We didn't come, he says, to Thessalonica with evil motives, with false doctrine, or trying to deceive you. We've been entrusted with the gospel, and so we speak to please God and not man. And we didn't come with flattering words or a cloak of covetousness. We didn't come trying to gain something from you with flattering words. God is witness. You see, that is the approach we must always take in trying to preach. Wherever we go, here, at home, you know, with our friends and neighbors, in a town down the road or a country on the other side of the world. That's not seeking shelter in a wrong way. That's using the opportunity God gives us to preach what people need to hear. And so we've offered to Mr. Chucka an opportunity anytime. Meet together privately or publicly. Last year, Brother Bobby and I tried repeatedly to arrange a meeting with Mr. Chucka in Bangalore. And every time, he canceled or did not show for the meeting. Every time. And yet now, he is the one with the good spirits, interested in the Lord's work, and we took shelter under that. No, this is a gross distortion, misrepresentation, and lie about what really has been happening in these matters. Why has he refused? Why has he canceled those attempts? Truth does not seek shelter behind open letters. It will address things openly and face to face. He's refused to do that. And so we are reduced to answering open letters in a very as open a way as we possibly can. He said that we later found out that these men really weren't what they claimed to be. Well, that's a lie in itself. But at every turn there's a distortion in this description of the gospel that is being preached by us in India. Distortion one. He says that we preach the place set apart for worship is holy, and hence the place should not be used for any other purpose than worship. Well, the word holy means set apart. Point of fact is, this building is a tool to allow us to accomplish the work God has given the local church. So the building is set apart in that sense. Not as some mystical, magical building, but as a building that is authorized to help us accomplish authorized work. When we come together, let all things be done unto edification. We assemble to worship. Hebrews 10:25, Acts 20 and verse 7. We have authority to use our building to accomplish what God has commanded the local church to do its work. The real issue is, where is the Bible authority for a local church to plan and promote and provide other kinds of activities, whether social activities or secular school activities or anything else like that? Where's the Bible authority? You see, it's a distortion of the issue. Again, of course, there is no authority for those things. He has to distort the issue or repudiate the error, repent of it, and come out. That's the appeal. That's the call of the gospel. That's what's being urged. But instead, the allegation is a distortion of the truth that's being taught. Again, he says we're teaching Bible schools are against the New Testament. They grab preachers and who we've trained. And we've given Bible certificates of graduation to. Well, again, churches of Christ have no Bible authority to support Bible schools. You want to as an individual, that's your right. Churches of Christ have no Bible authority to do that. Look, the church is organized to be sufficient to do the work God gave it. And not to arrange another organization through which it accomplishes its work. These are all lessons that we've taught in detail in classes in Cornell last year and this. And as men begin to understand the real issue, then they're turning away from the liberal errors of the issue. We challenge Mr. Chuck to debate the issue. Produce the Bible authority for church-supported, church-operated schools. If there is no Bible authority for it, it's sin. And when a church does that, they're sinning against God and brethren are losing their souls. But we're not supposed to say anything about it. See, and when we say something about it, we're causing trouble. See, that's what the allegation is. And by the way, we don't give certificates and we don't honor any. That's a piece of paper that means nothing. And yet he uses that as if that's some kind of issue. It's not an issue at all. Well, he says we teach that ladies' meetings are against the New Testament. Well, what hypocrites we are, since we have ladies who meet together to study the Bible. Of course, I'm being facetious and sarcastic with that statement. There's nothing wrong with women gathering to have a Bible study together. He distorts the issue. The real issue is there's no Bible authority to arrange a separate organization for women. There are churches of Christ that do that. There's no authority for that. That's what we preach against. The real issue is whether or not women can meet. The issue is not whether women can meet to study the Bible, pray together, consider the Word of God, but rather can a local church. Does it have authority to arrange a woman's organization within or other than the local church? Well, there's no Bible authority for that. And we need to take care and realize that, lest we fall into following the patterns of the denominations and their errors in such matters. And again, the distortion is that orphanages and widow and old folks' homes or old age homes are against the New Testament. Again, a lie, a distortion, a false charge. The real issue is the church has no authority in the Bible. The local church has no authority to operate and support other organizations, including benevolent ones. See, there's no Bible authority for that. Again, these are things we study in our classes. He knows that. He attended two of the classes last year. He knows what's being taught is a distortion of it. Where's the Bible authority? You see, we study James 1:27. That's individual action. That doesn't give a congregation the right to support an orphan's home. It says that pure religion undefiled before God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. We're to take care of, we're to see the needs of orphans, of the widows. But that doesn't authorize a local church to do that action. He's talking about the individual there. That's the context of Scripture, as is Galatians 6 and verse 1. And so we teach the pure gospel, God's pattern on such things, and we're charged with not believing and taking care of widows. That's not a new charge, is it? That's an allegation that's been around for 50 years. Since the 1950s, brethren, that's been the false accusation
against those who are teaching the truth on the pattern of the work of the local church.
Individual action and collective action are not the same. This, again, one of the fundamental lessons we teach in our classes. But that's lost on the liberal mind and their refusal to see the distinction God makes in the Scriptures, and so the distortion of the issue. Again, he says, these people are teaching youth meetings are against the New Testament. Again, of course, the Bible says we're to teach all ages, aren't we? Teach the older men, the older women, the young women, the young men. Again, the issue is that the church has no authority to build youth ministries and youth ministers to oversee and provide social activities for the youth. That's what's going on in liberal churches of Christ. That's what they have their youth ministers and all kinds of social activities geared for the youth as a part of the work of the local church. There's no Bible authority. That's the real issue, not the distorted issue. Again, the distortion is fellowship, get together, is against the New Testament. So we teach at some length. But you see, social get togethers in the New Testament are never called fellowship. Fellowship that the Bible talks about is spiritual in nature. God calls us into fellowship with His Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. He does that with the gospel, 1 John 1:1-7. And we find unity as we walk worthy of that gospel. Our fellowship with Christ is spiritual. It's not about common meals and social activities. That's not what the fellowship of the New Testament talks. Our sharing together is in Christ. Oh yes, we get together. And we eat together. And we play together. But that's not the function and the oversight and the rule and the activity overseen by a local church. 1 Corinthians 11, don't you have houses to eat or drink in? It says, if any man's hungry, let him eat at home. Verse 37. It says, if you don't do that, you bring condemnation. You bring condemnation on yourself. So our fellowship with Christ is that we commune with our Lord in eating the Lord's Supper. We come together to eat the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:20. Not to eat common meals. Again, a distortion, a misunderstanding, a failure to see what the Bible really says about fellowship has led to all these innovations and unscriptural activities in churches of Christ here in America, and now it's all been shipped over to India and everywhere else around the world. That's what's going on. That's the truth, man. Again, he says, we say there shouldn't be leadership, but we have leadership. You know, what he's really doing here is charging us with hypocrisy. He's saying that we're doing what we say we shouldn't do. And of course, no one has preached against leadership. We preach God-given leadership like we did this morning. We have no directors, by the way. He does. He's a director. He's a director over a secular school. He's a director over an orphanage. He's a director over a preacher training school. We don't preach that kind of leadership. We don't have directors because the Bible doesn't have directors, but He does. We don't control money for preachers, but He does. Saturn Road sends money to Him, and He distributes financial support to preachers. That's what's going on in liberalism today, around the world. Preachers in churches in America sending money to men who are distributing that and overseeing that and directing that to preachers and telling churches what preachers they should have to preach. He's doing that. We don't assign preachers to churches, but He does. I asked the class when we preach this. Does Mr. Chuka tell churches what preachers should preach for them? They said, yes. I said, does He tell preachers where they ought to go to preach? They said, yes. That's what's going on. Now, can you imagine here in Washington, me beginning to say and tell people who should go down to Tacoma to preach and tell them to Tacoma, now, you need to receive this man, let him preach for you, and start assigning a preacher down there and telling Sunnyside over there, you need to have another preacher besides Stephen Wallace. He's been there too long. Can you imagine? But that's what's going on in India. And so we expose that with the Bible and with troublemakers. We expose the bossism that is going on. And we're hypocrites. No. We're acting under the authority of Christ. He's not.
And others with him are not. Mr. Nagabushnam,
up in Hyderabad, up north, a couple hours from Kurnool, doing the same thing. Men in Chennai, men over in other places on the east coast of India, throughout that region. There are men that are set up as directors over schools and orphanages, and they're directing money from churches in America to preachers in India, and directing churches what they should do. And so now you get a picture of why Mr. Chuka talks about the weed. We've planted churches, and we've done all this. You see, he's got a denominational concept of the church, and it's infiltrated throughout the body of Christ in India. And now, brethren are learning the truth, that it's not in the Bible. And they're objecting. Mr. Chuka and others, they don't like that. They don't like it. We're teaching people, come out and be separate. Come out from that. Somehow. Well, the disciples, last year, repudiated liberalism with no offer of money, no offer of support. He turned down support from a sponsoring church in America coming to him through Mr. Chuka. With no offer of support from us. He wanted to stand in the truth. Brother Nagaya, that's how I have a hard time pronouncing his name. He turned down support from a liberal church last year with no guarantee, no offer of money. Mr. Ratnaraju, this year, young man, about 24, 25 years old, repudiated liberalism to the class I was teaching the second week. There's no church supporting him. What we urged him, what I personally urged him to do, go and find a job. Support your family. Preach the gospel. But don't expect and don't think that a repudiation presently of liberalism is somehow or another going to necessarily gain you some support. We don't come offering you money. But these are the charges being made. You see, where's the real hypocrisy? Maybe it becomes clear when the facts of the cases are examined. So Mr. Chuka says, we disassociated, we discouraged your team. We showed you hospitality and you took advantage of us. And you attracted preachers away from you. You held money out before preachers, he says, to get. No. We preached where we were asked to preach. We haven't forced ourselves on anybody to preach. But Mr. Chuka invited the preaching, and the truth was preached. Now, you know Bobby Holmes or Stan Cox back in 04, they could have gone in there and they could have preached nice sermons, easy to the ear, pleasing, acceptable, and not ruffled any feathers. But what good would that have done in the salvation of souls? Really? You know, that happens here, that happens overseas sometimes too, but no, that's not the Bible way. People are in error, people in sin need to hear the truth. They need to have an opportunity to be saved, to make up their mind based in truth.
Amen.
Lies about his offering money, and he does the same thing. Did you know that Mr. Silas,
Brother Silas, who left liberalism last year without any promise of money, you know what happened? This is on record. This is an email. This is verified. You know what offer Mr. Chuka made? He said, offer him more money. See if we can keep him where he is by offering more money. Brother Silas refused it. Next then, they tried to push him out of the congregation because he accepted truth and rejected liberalism. Now, who's offering money? It's not us.
He condemns the things that he's doing. That's on record. That's on record. We offer that record to anyone who wants to look at it. It's on record. We've marked him and others with him as false teachers because of the error they're practicing and preaching, because we seek to please God. And we try to encourage our brethren in Cornelius, you seek to please God. You follow the Word of God. Seek God's pleasure, not man's. And it'll put you under trial. Both them discussed it. These people are poor. There's a great temptation to preach for money. A great temptation. And
It's wielded over people
by the like of men like Mr. Chukum and the liberal persuasion. So when we come say, that's sin, that's error, come out, be separate.
We make no guarantee of money. Maybe we can help find brethren who will help support you. But in the meantime, you get a job, you do your work, you support your family. We can't guarantee any money because all we can do at best is to put you in contact with brethren or churches who may want us to help you along the way.
But we're charged with dangling money. That's what's going on, brethren. It continues and throughout the letter, and we'll not take time to read all of it specifically. We took some time in the class to do this with the brethren. They need to understand and see the real motives and sinful practices and selfish motives that he displays in this. Again, reminding the brethren that Bobby Holmes is not a director. Dan Torres or Joe Price or anyone else, we're not directors. We come, we preach the gospel, we teach classes. We've had opportunity to go to some churches and preach the gospel there. That's the work that we're trying to do. Well, in this part of the lesson, our letter, as you noted a minute ago, may have seen, he's accusing faithful brethren in India with falsifying reports, fabricating reports. He calls them liars. He's charged that with us, and now he charges the brethren over there too. And we just say, bring forth the evidence. Show us. If the evidence is genuine, we'll rebuke the sinner. By the way, there's no sin meeting brethren in a hotel or any place else and hearing meetings. Now, hearing reports about meetings and work that's going on. That's calling good evil and evil good. Isaiah 5:20. You see, through his distortions, who's trying to persuade pure hearts away from truth? Well, God says, I hate a lying tongue. And a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. God hates that, Proverbs 6:17-19. If there are men and if there are churches saying one thing and practicing another, show the evidence and we will rebuke them. And indeed, in Canoel this year, we did that. There was one man who was in fact receiving support from liberals and from faithful brethren, and it was exposed. His lies, his deceptions, and it was rebuked publicly. We have no qualm, no hesitation to try to make it very clear that when we sin, we need to repent. Try to save some. Charge of doing otherwise simply is not grounded in fact. Now, we've gone over some of that before. And again, in emphasizing to the preachers, there's a Bible pattern of how you should be supported in your work. The Bible pattern is, you have a family, God expects you to provide for that family. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. It may or it may not be that you can find support to do the work of an evangelist, but you have a responsibility to take care of your family. So you find a job, you care for your family. If you can be supported along the way to preach, then thank God and use that as an opportunity to continue in the work. See, there's a Bible pattern to follow in all that, sending directly from the churches and individuals to the preacher doing the preaching. And that's what we've taught. That's what we'll continue to teach. When we discover hypocrisy, we will rebuke it. We know no one boasting in somebody else's labor as he is charged. We know of preachers and churches who have withstood his intimidations. Pressures, I related a minute ago, pressures that are being applied to some brethren to return to his fellowship or not leave his fellowship. This man has a lot of power in South India among churches of Christ. Make no mistake. A lot of power. A lot of pull. All we can do is encourage brethren. You bring the Word of God with you. You set that before you. You continue in the... I want you to see, we're about to close this out, but I want you to see throughout all of this, if you want to read the letter further, you can go online or I can give you a copy of it. Mr. Chuka repeatedly defines everything in terms of money. He says our challenge is you take away half the support, half the mental lead. You take away all the support, all the mental lead. That's a distortion. We've already given you two examples of men who left liberalism with no money or offer of it because they wanted truth. He continues, he defines things by money. See, that unfortunately is one of the realities of the unscriptural approach to supporting preachers through sponsoring churches and elevating men as directors over their brethren, is money becomes the leverage to the man. Leverage to continue in the error. Leverage to agree or to be silent with the error. Until we start speaking out and saying, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to fall under that. You don't have to subject yourself to that. Furthermore, God doesn't want you to. That's sin before God, and you come out from it. That's the encouragement we've been telling brethren. As we, again, I've said before, I think Dan mentioned this in his report, at the start of every class, of every week, we will have and we will continue to say, we do not come with money. If you are here in these classes for money, you are here for the wrong reason. We come with the gospel. That's why you need to be here, and not some other reason. Warn about covetousness, the sin of covetousness. You know, people can be covetous if they have a little or if they have a lot. Rich people can covet, poor people can covet. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We all must beware of it and be on guard about it. God has blessed us with abundance. And we are taught, 1 Timothy 5, 6, 17 and 18, to use that blessing in a good way, to lay up treasure in heaven by using these blessings to help others. It's clear in the conduct of Mr. Chupa and his associates, they're consumed with money. Consumed with the power that gives them over preachers. And that's what we're trying to help brethren fight, stand against, and preach and teach against. He says, take the gospel to the world. Take the gospel to the perishing souls of India, and not to congregations. But the reality is they're perishing souls in churches of Christ. They need to hear about these errors. And so we urge brethren, you preach the whole counsel of God. You preach God's pattern. Try to save some out of this error. See, and as before, we'll preach where we're invited. I want you to note too in his letter, he says any preacher who leaves the liberalism, he calls them dividers and so-called preachers. Well, you know, that's just a prejudicial way of trying to distort and gain a following. You're just a so-called preacher if you don't agree with me. Well, that's absurd. Again, we encourage the brethren to preach the pattern of sound words and understand that when you do that, you're not bringing division. You're calling people to peace with God through the truth of His Son. That's preaching the whole counsel of God. Paul said when we came to Corinth, we came with the gospel and not in words of wisdom, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:5. And brethren will stand in truth. You have the power of God. And that's what those brethren and us, what we need to know and understand about standing in truth. Well, moralize. We've seized no properties. We've seized no congregations. We found congregations that are supporting other congregations and do their work. No Bible authority for that. Did you see, in fact, Mr. Chupa decides what churches should believe, what they should teach, and who they should have preaching and teaching for them? Who's usurping authority over churches? If it's not the liberal directors in India, he says, shouldn't we be ashamed? No, you should be ashamed. Those who would follow that kind of liberal conduct. Every church is going to decide for itself to stand in truth or to follow error. And
Our responsibility is to try to urge them in the truth. But nobody's stealing, robbing, grabbing property. Again, all these are prejudicial. And you really need, you know, the fact of the matter is, up until now, you know, brethren, go and get his permission to preach somewhere or to have some preacher. He'd give his blessing, you know. It's kind of like a bishop over an area. The shades of Catholicism. Shades of the apostasy of the 2nd, 3rd century, all over again. Working its way from America to India and around the world. His power is decreasing when brethren will come out and are standing in truth. Shouldn't he be ashamed of that? Shouldn't all who are rejecting truth be ashamed of that? Indeed. Well, Bible says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. We've been careful to document the truth of these things. Through the conduct of the words of Mr. Chuka and his associates, more documentation will be forthcoming. The issue will be clear for those who will objectively study it and consider it and see. What we've done is go to India with the truth. And brethren are learning the truth. And they're abandoning liberalism. And those who are opposed to the truth are fighting against them. And any who would urge them to turn away from that error. We're glad Mr. Chu understands the money is the Lord's and not his. We just wish he'd practice it. It's not his money. See? Again, money. Money, money, money. Scripture doesn't give him the authority to control the Lord's money over men or to be directors over it. So we pray that he will repent of his liberalism. He's right, there's a day of judgment coming, and all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death, Revelation 21, verse 8. The Lord wants sinners to repent and to do it now. That's the urging that we all have from the Word of God. I hope I haven't belabored this topic in any way with you. I hope that we've helped you have a little clearer understanding of what brethren are facing in India and what we're trying to accomplish in the classes in India. We're trying to teach God's pattern that exposes the sins and errors of the false doctrines of liberalism in churches of Christ so brethren will come out and follow the truth. Of course, we're being charged with being antis. Mr. Chuka has made that charge to his supporting churches in America, and no doubt he'll continue. We've heard that before too. Pray for the brethren in India. Not just the preachers, but there's congregations that are believing the truth, and with that urging, they're leaving the attitudes and practices of liberalism. Pray for them. Pray for those brethren. And let's do what we can to help encourage them and ground them in the truth of the gospel, so that a new day will dawn in that country as the gospel light shines forth. That's the will of God. That's what we seek to accomplish in the work that we're doing. And thank you for your fellowship in that. Thank you for your support. You have a part of that. You are a part of that. And I urge you to see and understand and believe that you know just how important it is, and encourage that we can all together continue this work of the gospel, that the door that's been opened to us, it will stay there a while, because there's many adversaries, but there's a lot of opportunities. And God will bless His truth. It won't come back to Him void. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus. In faith, you need to repent of your sins. You need to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized for remission of your sins. We urge you to do that tonight. Become a Christian now. The Bible pattern will not change. There is a day of judgment coming. Jesus wants to save you. He can save you tonight, right now, if you'll confess that He's the Son of God. If you'll repent of your sin, be baptized into Jesus. He'll add you to His church. He will save you. Then as a faithful Christian, grounded and growing in the truth of God, serving Him every day with a sure hope of heaven. That's what you have to look forward to. We urge you to be right with God. Obey Jesus now. All together we stand and we sing.